My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we talk about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the decentralized revolution. Today, I am bringing you a very special guest, maybe one of the, definitely one of the bigger names, I don't know about the biggest name, but one of the bigger names in the Bitcoin space. He's a good friend, someone I hang out with quite a bit. I'm proud to call him a friend, and he is one of the best thinkers in the space. During the Bitcoin conference, he had a special event where he sat down with one of the biggest thinkers in the world today. I'm talking about Jordan Peterson, and I'm also talking about Robert Breedlove. So I'm sitting down with Robert Breedlove. He got to sit down with Jordan Peterson, and man, the conversation was unbelievable. And I'm having him on the show to talk to you today about what money is and so much more. Let's go ahead and jump in with Robert right now.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for joining me again today. Always a pleasure sitting down with you. I've been looking forward to it.
Hey, Mark, it's not been that long. So nice to see you again after what's it been, a week?
Well, it's been a while since I've had you on the channel.
Right.
But yeah, we got to hang out quite a bit last week, which was awesome. I always love hanging out with you. So we were hanging out at Bitcoin 2022. Let's talk about that just for a minute. What did you think about the conference, just I guess from a high level?
Well, this year was definitely a lot bigger. I mean, that would be the first takeaway. I think it was really well done. I like the layout inside the convention center. It was a bit confusing, I think, at the beginning, just trying to get a lay of the land.
Yeah.
Once you knew everything was, it was a nice flow. The experience for me was very similar to last year, actually. Like almost everywhere I went, just getting mobbed with love. Yeah. You know, people are like, thank you for whatever, the Sailor series or this thing you wrote or, you know, this interview of yours that I saw.
Yeah.
I was overwhelmed because I thought back at Bitcoin 2021, that was kind of an anomaly year. You know, Bitcoin was way up, you know, the show was new, and that was my experience at Bitcoin 2021, is people just mobbing me with love.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, surely Bitcoin, this one will be more calmed out, calmed down, chilled out because Bitcoin price isn't moving as much. I've been putting out a lot of work, but you just don't, like you and I have talked about this. You put out a lot of work sort of in isolation and you don't really see the impact on people's lives. Like you see it through social media a little bit, but to see it in person,
yeah,
it's a whole different ball game. I think the vibe was tremendous. I mean, I'm more bullish on the Bitcoin community than ever.
Yeah.
People are just this transformation that occurs personally, psychologically, financially, you know, it really seems to be like rippling through everyone and hopefully changing lives for the better. So it was really nice to see that phenomenon up close and personal again.
Yeah. I also think about, you know, when you're investing in venture, and I know you had your fund, you know, going for a while. So like, you know, when you're investing in venture, typically those are, you know, 6, 7, 10 years before you see those types of deals come to fruition. And so like, how do you track that? And like you track the user growth and you can track the development on the network. I think about those two metrics. And so if you look at the growth, the trajectory of the audience growth, right? So from 2019, like 1500 people, 2021 was, I don't know, 10,000 people. And this year was like 30,000 people.
Right. Yeah. And were you at 19?
Yeah.
2019? Yeah. In San Francisco. That was it was small.
Say yeah.
1500 people maybe. And then they, I guess 10x it for 2021. Or, you know, that's 2 years. So 10x.
Because 2020 was off because of the COVID.
Canceled. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think it was 13 or 14,000 people last year. And then this year was what, 35,000?
Yeah.
They've built a hell of a business, you know, it's kind of centered on that one giant event per year. And I really enjoyed it. I am sort of regretful. Like, I missed the last day of the conference because I had the Peterson event that night. I started to lose my voice in the morning. So I was really worried about going to the conference and not being able to speak during the interview.
Yep.
Ended up skipping that last day and just resting my voice. And then the day after, they had the comedians and music festival, which I actually wanted to attend, but you know, we're doing other events and all that day. So there's just
we're hanging out at Michael Peters. Or I'm sorry, we're hanging out at Michael Saylor's house having a barbecue.
Yeah. So, and that was a really good time. That was a highlight for me too, just to get together with, you know, so many people that we're close with and just have a little huddle. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, talking about, you know, Michael Saylor, just like the high level of people that are at those events. So like, again, from 2019, it was pretty like hardcore Bitcoiners. And this year we had billionaires, obviously Michael Saylor, senators there, Cynthia Lummis, and then, I mean, Jordan Peterson. I mean, there's probably nobody bigger in the thought leader space today than that guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think so. It's pretty clear my perspective on Peterson. He's definitely the greatest impact on my thinking for a living person. You know, maybe Mises and some of these other guys are up there as well in terms of people that are past. But it was an honor. You know, it was an honor to put this event together. I really enjoyed our conversation. I appreciate his skepticism and his thoughtfulness. You know, he's not just drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, he's really trying to come at it from multiple angles and take the argument or, you know, the Bitcoin thesis apart. And that's ultimately what makes it so valuable, is that that's what we're all trying to do. He's an extremely fast thinker, fast talker. You know, he's got a lot of intellectual horsepower,
hard
to keep up with even. But I thought his fireside chat with Tur was great.
Yep.
That was more, I guess, a bit more surface level in terms of his thinking about macroeconomics and Bitcoin. And then that night, which was our first in-person, our first live event, first interview I've done in front of a live studio audience, we had, I mean, you were there in the front row, and we had 700 people there, I think.
Wow, was it that many? Dang.
Yeah.
It was packed. We went
deep. You know, I tried to skip the surface level discussion and just go straight to the bottom of the rabbit hole. And you know, he's so fascinating. He can talk about anything and can tie it back to really these different psychological dimensions and, you know, human development. We talked a lot about game theory and how humans sort of bootstrap morality through play and the nature of voluntary versus involuntary games. And we're tying all these things back to money and Bitcoin. And, you know, that's my litmus test for an interview, is I just try to, I really I'm trying to learn. I call it learning out loud. So I want to have conversations that are interesting to me, that are pushing my own understanding, where I'm at the edge of my understanding, and hopefully my guest is as well. And we're producing something novel and useful in that dialogue. And I think we did it. You know, the feedback from the live event was wonderful. We're working on releasing the video now in the next few days. We're just running it through the edit flow and making sure it's tight. And so we'll see what the world thinks.
I thought it was amazing the amount of work that you did in advance to like really put the questions in order and build, you know, kind of from that first principles level. So highly anticipated for you to release that. I'll watch it again. Everybody else should as well. But so if we look at the Bitcoin, you know, like I said, if we look at the Bitcoin conference, the growth of the trajectory of the audience, the amount of people that have come there, like the mind share that's coming over to the space, it's like pretty amazing. It's definitely one metric that I'm looking at. Yeah. One of the things that I saw at the conference was I worked at news desk. I know you worked it as well for a couple of days. I was working on industry day, which was the first day. And there was a lot of people from the industry and they're talking about, you know, we need regulations and we need clarity. And they kept saying, we need to push for mass adoption, push for mass adoption, push for mass adoption. And I thought, I was like, you know, my contrarian take is that we don't need to push for mass adoption. One, like Alex Fetsky says, the masses are always wrong. Yeah. But I was just saying that per a 2018 Fed report, 40% of Americans don't even have $400 for an emergency. So I'm like, those people don't even need to worry about like Bitcoin or crypto. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of, I guess I'm in alignment in a way that I've always thought of Bitcoin's adoption would progress according to the minority rule. And we, you know, I've written some about this. This is a concept I picked up from Taleb. But just this idea that the preferences of an obstinate minority typically can influence the preferences of the whole. So long as the whole doesn't, they're sort of indifferent to what most people don't care. Like they want their money to just work, right? I want to swipe the card and put the thing in the account and know that it's there. But if you develop this, and Svetsky, a lot of these guys refer to the remnant, right? The focused, intelligent minority that's just stacking sats to all kingdom come. It almost starts to create this growth dynamic in Bitcoin where its rules get imposed on others. Like you have to protect yourself from inflation or to preserve wealth across time or, you know, any number of reasons. There's a million use cases for Bitcoin that you end up having to use this neutral settlement layer. And I mean, that's the path that I think it follows is that Bitcoin just continues to monetize. There will always be the diehard stackers. And when they're just taking new supply off the market, Bitcoin's just going to, the sell pressure on Bitcoin is going to be diminished more and more, along with this new issuance due to the halving, which is going to drive price higher and higher and higher. And eventually that draws in the masses, right? The masses typically just chase the price.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm focused on that. I think in my educational efforts too, I call it, you know, raising an army of educators. And you had this brilliant quote one time, the setting brush fires in the minds of men, something like that, that captures it as well. It's like, let's just give people fundamental view on money, on property, on government, on the nature of our socioeconomic systems of human cooperation, and then let them decide.
Right.
I'm not here to prescribe Bitcoin to anyone. I'm just trying to ask big questions and dig deep and hopefully find some useful knowledge in the process.
Yeah.
But I think it will ultimately be that small cadre of people that will really just, by holding such a secure footprint on the network and not accepting any inferior savings technology, not bending to any regulation or any threat, that's what's going to trigger this hyper Bitcoinization type event that we all look forward to.
All right, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. I'm sitting down with Robert Breedlove from the What Is Money Show right now. Don't go away. We have a lot more to go when we come back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you could give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm in the studio today joined by Robert Breedlove. He's host of the What Is Money podcast. You can find him on podcast or on YouTube. One of the greatest thinkers today. We're talking about his conversation with Jordan Peterson at the Bitcoin conference and What Is Money. Let's pick it back up here.
Yeah, so your show, What Is Money, the What Is Money show, WIM, has been basically trying to answer that, like, what is money? And yeah, the majority of people just have no idea what money is. And so then back to like needing to push for adoption, it's like most people don't even know they have a problem.
Right.
I say in marketing, we'd say it's much easier to sell food to someone who's starving than to convince them that they're starving first and then try to sell them food. Right. In Venezuela, where their currency is blown up by 2,500%, you don't have to convince them that they should get out of that currency and into something else. You know, or in Canada, when they got kicked out of the banking system or their bank accounts are about to get seized, you don't have to convince them. So a lot of it's just like bringing the attention to that. But you've focused on this, what is money? And a lot of people just don't know that. I guess if we dig into that, I know you've outlined a bunch, like the certain attributes of money. Tell us what those are real quick.
Yeah. So I think when you... there's so many answers to this question. I have an ongoing blog series right now of answers to that question that both I've either discovered in reading or I've maybe sort of put together through my own thinking, or I've just been given by guests. You know, a lot of guests come on the show and they have some unique answer to it. But it's really interesting, you know, and a lot of people, it seems like it's resonated with the audience too, because a lot of people didn't notice that it was such a fundamental question, but like now that you've asked it, I've heard all these different answers. I'm like, it's one of those really deep questions. Like what is truth or what is value? You know, it's something, it's just a rabbit hole, I guess, in a nutshell. Yeah. But for me, my original, the original drum I was beating a lot was, okay, you want to understand Bitcoin. Bitcoin's a novel innovation. It's new. It's very complicated. You could lead with the technical explanation of Bitcoin, you know, like cryptography and distributed computing networks and game theory and all of this. But I think that for most people, they just kind of have that glazed over look when you take that approach. So my realization was, as you said, if you don't know what the problem is, then right. you can't really put Bitcoin in the proper context. So I said, I try to dispense with this technical explanation of Bitcoin as a modern technology and really take the opposite tact entirely. Like, let's forget all that and just go to the very beginning, the first principles or whatever of human history and say, right. what is money? How did we get money? We all know that gold became money historically. And I put people like Ray Dalio in this group. Like he gets money very deeply relative to most people. But when he looks at gold, his explanation for why gold became money is it has intrinsic value.
Right.
And that's a failing, in my opinion. There are specific properties that human beings demand in money. And I think that for me is the bottom of that question. It's like just explaining the properties people want in a money. And I've put it like this before. We often talk about goods and services, you know, distinguishing, say, the physical good, a shovel, for instance, versus the service, which is digging holes.
Right.
But it's ultimately what we're all ultimately looking for are services. Even the good itself, we only demand that good because the services it renders to us, or the it can accelerate us towards the achievement of our aim, right? I can dig holes faster with a shovel than with my bare hands. So if you start to think of it in those terms, then it's all about services, even money. So it's like, what services do people demand from money? Another way of saying that is, what properties do people demand from money?
Right.
And again, this is a question, if you ask guys like Edstrom, right? He wrote a book on this with 14 properties of money.
Right.
You know, read the Austrians, they have 7, they have 10. It just depends what you read. I try to narrow it down as much as possible, and I got it down to 5. And this was influenced by an excellent book, actually, that's available free online, titled Honest Money by Gary North. Gary North just passed away. He's like a Christian libertarian philosopher. It's a free PDF on Mises.org. You could also buy it on Amazon, but he narrowed it down to divisibility, durability, recognizability, portability, scarcity. Mm-hmm. And when I first got into this Bitcoin media explanation of, like, you know, talking about what is money and explaining the money in a historical context that was adequate to put Bitcoin in and have Bitcoin be understood. And I think that chain, that explanatory chain was really successful, actually, because then you're like, oh, I get it. Gold was the most divisible, durable, recognizable, portable, scarce thing we had. That's why we demanded it as money. That's why it became money. You also understand what gold lacked, right? Which was portability. Mm-hmm. Very hard to move gold across space, even though it holds value well across time, which explains why we abstracted gold into a paper currency, right? We're augmenting its transactability across space, increasing its portability. But that introduced the problem, right? We now need to trust the guy that's warehousing the gold not to overissue the paper claims on gold. That was the ultimate honeypot for governments and central banks. Historically, it's become the most corrupt institution in the world, as we've talked about ad nauseum. And so it explains all that, just looking at the properties of money. And then finally, if you evaluate Bitcoin through that lens of the properties of money, you see that it's the most perfect money we've ever had.
All right. I just want to let you know real quick, you are listening to The Mark Moss Show, and I'm in the studio with Robert Breedlove. He's the host of the What Is Money show and podcast. We have a lot more to discuss. I have a whole list of questions you do not want to miss, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day, whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade. At the Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot. Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. I'm in the studio today joined by Robert Breedlove. He's host of the What Is Money podcast. You can find him on podcast or on YouTube. One of the greatest thinkers today. We're talking about his conversation with Jordan Peterson at the Bitcoin conference and What Is Money. Let's pick it back up here.
So if we trust the money with the best reputation, okay, that's one thing, which I guess has been the dollar. I mean, it was gold, obviously, and then it's the dollar. But then think about this. So then what is the dollar, right? The dollar is really, this is something I've been thinking about quite a bit. The dollar really is a payment network, is what it is, right? It's the way, it's the easiest way, the best reputation to move money around the world. And so, of course, Russia didn't just get their dollars seized. They didn't even have that many dollars. They got their FX accounts because they had a bunch of different currencies. They got their FX reserve seized and they got kicked out of the SWIFT system, the payment network. Right. And so not only did they kill the dollar, which, you know, had the best reputation, but also the payment network, right, which is actually a pretty big deal when you think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I would say first and foremost, the dollar is a derivative of gold. That's the only reason we ever had a paper currency anywhere ever, was to facilitate the portability of precious metals, whether gold, mm-hmm. silver, whatever it was. Obviously, due to technological realities and or people's ignorance of the financial system and money, we got to 1971, right? Where we broke that peg permanently. We've never looked back. And shortly after that, right? Because, you know, to use a sailor aphorism, money is energy, right? It's economic energy.
Right.
So the dollar was pegged to the energy expenditure necessary to produce gold. That's what secured its supply. When we break that peg, you can't leave the dollar unpegged. So very quickly, it was repegged to black gold.
Right.
The petrodollar. Well, so yeah. That's now what the United States, it's the point of leverage the United States uses to impose this I think as Gladstein typically calls it, the global dollar hegemony. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we forcibly denominate oil contracts in oil or in dollars rather, et cetera, et cetera. That's also changing now, like as a result of the Russia thing. I think they're selling oil in rupees and other currencies. So that whole, the unipolar world we had around the dollar, it's being ripped apart in real time.
Right.
And it's hard to say where that goes, but you know, you bring up SWIFT too, Russia getting kicked off that. Ultimately, it's just a messaging system, right? You're just messaging amounts of money across this network. There's not any final settlement occurring in terms of like gold being transmitted.
Right.
And so all these things is like, it's just another big billboard for Bitcoin. It's like, oh, yeah. Well, you're going to kick us off the global trade network effectively by kicking us off the SWIFT system. Is there an alternative messaging system we could use to conduct this international trade? Well, it turns out there is.
Yeah. And that's where
nobody can turn off.
That's where I'm going. I'm trying to use your technique to build this conversation. So if the dollar was the money with the best reputation, but really it's the payment network, to your point, it's like a messaging network with the best reputation. But now we found out that, well, that you can only use the network if we say you can use the network, because it wasn't just dollars, to my point about Russia. It was the network they got kicked off of. Now, you mentioned Ray Dalio, and his research is amazing. He's forgotten more than I'll ever know. I mean, his research is unbelievable. I just finished his book, and I've done some videos on it, the Changing World Order. I forget the title. I just finished it, and it's an amazing book. Everyone should read it. And then you mentioned the word multipolar. I don't know if you've been reading some of the work of Zoltan Pozsar that he's been putting out recently. He's been talking about this Bretton Woods 3, and talking about how, I don't know, have you heard about that, Zoltan Pozsar and the Bretton Woods 3?
Yeah, it was recommended to me. I haven't read it yet.
I mean, the big level is that Bretton Woods 1, 1944, obviously went to a gold standard that was still commodity money, right? So the world had been on commodity money. 1971 broke the gold standard, and we went to what he calls inside money. So basically bank treasuries. So No more commodity money. Now it's fiat money. And that we've been in that since 1971. So he calls that Bretton Woods 2. And now that agreement was broken. The payment network was shut down, February 26, 2022. And now we're going back to Bretton Woods 3, which is a commodity money again. So now everybody's hoarding natural resources, natural gas, oil, et cetera. But one thing that Dalio and Pozsar both seem to miss, and of course, you know, I've been talking about these three revolutionary cycles. So we have to look at this like political revolution cycle, which Dalio nails. I mean, his research is amazing and shows how we have the U.S. as a declining superpower and China as a rising superpower. And he nails this down from like a political standpoint. And even he talks about these 80-year financial revolutions, these long-term credit cycles. But what he misses and what Pozsar misses is the technology revolution piece. Mm-hmm. And so on about a 50-year time frame, we have a technological revolution, not a technology, but a revolution that changes the course of humanity. And they didn't bring that in. And so we have this technology, and to the point, if the payment network is broken, we have a new payment network. And here's something I've been thinking about. So in the United States, we had the telephone, and all throughout the US, we have telephone poles and telephone wires running everywhere, right? And that was put up about 100 years ago. And the internet scaled pretty quickly. The adoption scaled pretty quickly because we had telephone lines. Mm-hmm. In the old days, you had someone at the switchboard and they would route that call, right? And then we scaled pretty quickly because we had the telephone lines and it ran over that. But today we have wireless phones. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really, the internet scaled pretty quickly. Then eventually they put fiber optics in the ground. They skipped the telephone lines. And now we just use wireless altogether. But then we saw nations like Africa leapfrog. They never had wired telephones. They just went straight to wireless. Right. And so what is the telephone network? Well, it's an information network, right? Through wires. And so if you think about the dollar being a payment network, that's to the point had the best reputation, it's now killed. Could we see other nations just leapfrog right past that payment network and just use a different payment network?
Absolutely. I think it's a brilliant way to break it down. And, you know, to your point with Africa, it's like they had no technical debt or infrastructure debt in that leapfrog. So it's a huge boon for them to skip this wave of fixed capital deployment. Because if you deploy a bunch of whatever telephone poles, telephone wires, and then 10 years later, you don't need them. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a huge outlay that's no longer benefiting you effectively.
Yeah.
And so if you're a smaller, up and coming developing nation, you can observe these technological trends playing out in the developed world and, you know, cherry pick what's best. You can skip the telephone poles and go straight to wireless. And typically those advancements, almost by definition, are orders of magnitude more efficient. So right. That nation then becomes more competitive relative to the developed nation with the infrastructure or technical debt. And, you know, I think that is a, again, great way to look at it. The other thing I would add there is this idea of dollar derivatives now being built on the Bitcoin blockchain, typically with a lot more yield, right? You can hold whatever USDC, there's a million stable coins out there that offer some yield that you cannot get in the traditional banking system. So that's an added inducement for people to migrate from legacy banking infrastructure into something Bitcoin or even crypto related. That's something to watch for. And this idea of neutral settlement network, neutral settlement layer, you know, what Bitcoiners often call Bitcoin money for enemies. Mm-hmm. That's very valuable, right? You want to be able to trade with everyone, but you want to be able to do it in a way that you don't have to trust anyone.
Right.
And that's what Bitcoin ultimately is. Like, you get to trust the math, the self-interest of market participants, and thermodynamics effectively through its supply secured through energy expenditure. And that gives it a very potent reputation as money, right? It's like mm-hmm. something no one can control. No political attack vector or organization can change the rules. That's a very big deal. This is effectively what was Russia doing. They were playing in a certain financial network.
Right.
And then the rules were changed on them. Like, oh, yeah. You're now ejected from the game, or you've lost your points, or whatever analogy you want to use here. Everyone has this demand to play the game with fixed rules. So Bitcoin, it's such a brilliant innovation. It's almost established a reputation so free of counterparty risk that it's more like the sun coming up, right? You know, there's going to be a block average of every 10 minutes. That's all right. It does. And that's literally the only thing it does, and holds a supply cap of 21 million and no one can change it. Like, that's the whole value prop. So I think the more conflict and tension we have individually, geopolitically, at whatever layer, the more demand you're creating for that neutral settlement territory. And ultimately, you know, as you're pointing out, you know, Dalio is brilliant. These guys have thought about it a lot, but they missed the technological piece, I guess. And this is not on them. This is a human thing. We are really bad at prognosticating the future.
Right.
You look at, go back into the 50s or the 70s and look at, you know, sci-fi future films. We're blasting around rockets all over the universe and across space. Like, but no one had the handheld supercomputer.
Right.
You know, we didn't know social media. There's predictions that have been closer. Like, I talk about the sovereign individual a lot. They predicted some of these things in like 97. So say a couple of decades before they transpired. But looking into the deep future, I think it's much harder to tell where we're going.
Yeah.
But looking, and so that should give us all some pause and humility as looking as guys that look into the future. But the norm I would say here that seems to be, I don't want to say irrefutable, but very common is it. Societies tend to have hard money, right? Hard money is the norm of human history. We've been using gold for 5,000 years. We've had this fiat anomaly for just a few hundred. So it would seem to me like when trust is being lost, we're going to revert back to the mean of hard money. Mm-hmm. The difference in a guy like Dalio and my own thinking is I just think Bitcoin is disruptive to gold. I think gold has failed, basically. Mm-hmm. And so we need something new. And I can't see what that would be other than Bitcoin.
I have a lot more to go over with Robert Breedlove here, so make sure you stick around as we dig more into this. I'll be right back.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. I am joined in the studio with one of my buddies, Robert Breedlove, one of the best thinkers in the Bitcoin space.
One more topic to discuss that's a little bit different, but maybe somewhat related, is Elon Musk and Twitter. Mm. And the one thing that I see, well, there's a lot of things that I see there, a lot of angles that we could take with that. But specifically, the angle that I'm thinking about is, so if money is communication, the Bitcoin network is a better network that communicates money or information better. The Elon Musk takeover of Twitter has had a lot of pushback. People that work in Twitter say they're going to quit, things like that. And one thing that's been kind of, I've been thinking about is like, man, he said that he wants to take it over to help have more free speech. He doesn't like the censorship. That seems to be his big gripe. There's too much censorship. I want to have more free speech. And so it seems like all these people that are pushing back on that are saying, we don't want free speech.
Right.
And if money is speech, right, or communication, and is this just a small little microcosm that's an anomaly that shouldn't be looked at or we should care about? Or do you think there's something bigger where maybe people don't want freedom of speech and we don't need this freedom of communication, even in money? I mean, people are opposed to Canadians or Russia getting out of sanctions, which is kind of the same thing almost.
Yeah, it's honestly scary because I would argue that, someone tweeted this, whether Elon successfully takes over Twitter or not, he sort of forced all of the people that believe in censorship or are anti-free speech to show their cards. Because if right. you're against his private takeover of a business at a premium to all the shareholders, I mean, you don't get it, right? That's anti-capitalism, anti-competition, anti-civilization even, mm-hmm. right? It's fascism, ultimately. Because now, who is it? Vanguard steps in and bought a stake to basically defend against the bid.
And the reason they don't want it is because he's offering to have freedom of speech.
Exactly. Exactly. They want to keep their hands on the censorship levers.
Right.
And Twitter is the biggest media platform in the world.
Jeff Bezos bought Washington Post and nobody cared about that.
Right.
Because he didn't want freedom of speech. So that's that. I guess that's the attack, right? The freedom of speech.
Yeah. And Twitter, in my opinion, is the most important media outlet in the world. I mean, there's things with bigger user bases and bigger revenue, but in terms of ideas being exchanged, I think Twitter has the most density for that. And the censorship has been rampant, frankly. So it's very encouraging in a way that a guy like Elon is standing up for the freedom of speech and really putting his money where his mouth is. Elon does not fuck around, which I appreciate. You know, he's someone else tweeted this. Elon was the first guy that got rich and actually did cool shit with his money.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty well said, but ultimately this all grounds out in Bitcoin again, though, because even if Elon takes over successfully and tries to reincorporate the principles of free speech, he's still going to have pressure from the state, you know, the state broadly, you know, multiple states that, that Twitter's operating within to censor certain people about certain things. And so then he'll become the arbiter of truth, he or his management team. And Bitcoin just, again, obviates the need for all this. It's like, if we can build communication platforms, media platforms on top of Bitcoin that are transmitting micropayments of sats with each message, you can basically make messaging unstoppable, as unstoppable as the money itself. And in doing so, you can implement actual free speech in the digital domain. So we don't even have to have the conversation of censorship anymore. It's just like, you can speak as freely in real life as you can in on Twitter or the Bitcoin equivalent.
If Bitcoin would be like digital cash, so it's peer-to-peer, so it's almost like cash, but digitally, where I could give it to you and there's nobody in between to stop it, block it, prevent it, it could also move conversation almost as I'm talking to you peer-to-peer with nobody in between that could stop it, block it, or prevent it.
That's right. And it changes the game for a lot of things. It changes the game for podcasting. You know, you like stream sats to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Peterson and I talked about this in our interview. He thinks that all the social media bullying has to do with the fact that there's zero cost of messaging, right? Sure. There's no cost to being a schmuck on Twitter, but you would never say those schmucks that you see on Twitter would never say the same thing in real life because they'd get punched in the face.
Especially not to you.
So, and Saylor went deep on this in our series together, where he talks about Twitter implementing Bitcoin to have like the orange check or the blue check.
Yeah.
And basically a skin in the game reputation system that would cleanse the quality of discourse online. And I think it's brilliant. And also, I think it's almost as inevitable as Bitcoin, because again, people want that. People want a place that you could just speak freely and interact without the threat of censorship. Or any top-down control. Like that's in universal demand, let's say. Even the people that want to censor others, like they themselves do not want to be censored.
Right.
So when that domain opens that can censor no one, everyone's going to migrate there. It's the same dynamic, same reasons people are adopting Bitcoin, people adopt Bitcoin-based media.
Yeah. And I know we're both friends with Justin over at Zion and both involved in that. So shout out to Zion because they're helping to bring that. And so we're going to see more and more of that. Well, I think with that, we'll go ahead and sign it off. We've covered a lot of ground. Always a pleasure talking to you. We referenced, obviously, your show, What is Money? And the upcoming, the release, I should say, of your interview with Jordan Peterson. So definitely check that out. Anything else you want to bring attention to?
No, man, it's been great talking to you. You know, the Substack is the Freedom Analects. That's linked on my Twitter profile. So if you want to follow the reading more than the talking, that's another option. And we're going to be releasing, I did 5 in-person interviews in Miami. So we're going to be releasing those over the next few weeks. I hope everyone likes them. Feel free to engage. Let me know.
Hi, Robert. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, you've been listening to The Mark Moss Show. I've been joined in the studio with Robert Breedlove, the host of the What is Money show and podcast. Make sure to check Robert out and shoot us a message on Twitter to tell us you heard us on The Mark Moss Show. That's what we got for you today. I appreciate you listening. Till next time.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.